NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. In the aftermath of Tuesday's deadly attacks in Belgium, authorities in neighboring France have just announced that they have foiled a terror plot of the advanced stages there, unrelated to the Brussels bombings. While in Brussels, red flags have emerged that possibly point to Americans being targeted as part of this week's attacks. At least 31 people were killed and 316 hurt, dozens suffering critical injuries that doctors describe as looking more like wounds of war. And tonight, as we're getting our first look inside the apartment where the suitcase bombs were constructed, comes word two brothers involved in the attacks may have been in search of radioactive materials for a dirty bomb attack. NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel has late details now from Brussels.
Were Americans the target of the Brussels bombers? The State Department today said no.
We don't at this point have any credible evidence that suggests it was targeting Americans.
But tonight, NBC News spoke with counterterrorism expert Claude Moniquet, a former French intelligence officer briefed on the investigation. He says the taxi driver who drove these three suspects, including the two bombers on the left, told investigators the man in the hat, still wanted by authorities, launched into an anti-American tirade in the car on his way to the airport.
It was a general conversation. He didn't say, I will kill Americans, of course.
But it's a key moment.
Yes, of course.
It's the last thing that's on his mind before carrying out the attacks.
The last thing which was heard by someone external to the terrorist network was very aggressive words against America and American citizens.
Moniquet also says two of the suicide bombers who caused the Brussels carnage, the Bakraoui brothers, may have been trying to get their hands on an even more terrifying weapon.
To make a dirty bomb?
To make a dirty bomb, certainly.
The brothers secretly filmed a top scientist from a facility producing medical radioactive isotopes. Moniquet says the brothers may have planned to kidnap one of the scientist's relatives to try to force him to hand over the radioactive materials.
The point is that, of course, it was a stupid plan because you cannot enter even if you take the children of this man.
And tonight, new pictures to NBC News inside the safe house where the ISIS bombers prepared their suitcase bombs and other explosives used in the Brussels attacks. A hole in the door, likely left by police. New twists for the people of Brussels to wonder about.
Soldiers are still patrolling here to guard against another possible ISIS attack. But this country seems overwhelmed by the scale of the threat. Only 225 extra troops have reportedly been brought into Brussels. It's a show of force, but a small one.
Belgian officials now accept they don't have the manpower to deal with the hundreds of jihadi fighters who came back from the Middle East.
And tonight, Lester, France's interior minister said in a raid this morning outside Paris, a French national was arrested in the late stages of an attack against France. Apparently, the official said, at this point, there does not appear to be a connection between that arrest, that suspect, and the atrocities that happened here in Brussels, a city still in mourning.
All right, Richard, and as you reported, Americans could have been the intended targets of this. As NBC's Tom Costello explains, it's the question many security experts have been asking since the attacks.
2.5 days since the attacks in Brussels, 12 Americans are known to have been injured, including three Mormon missionaries. But several are still unaccounted for, including two with U.S. government connections. Also missing, husband and wife Stephanie and Justin Schultz from Kentucky, and brother and sister Sasha and Alexander Pinkowski from New York. Were they among Americans deliberately targeted? The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee says, yes, their location at the time of the attacks, key. Here's where it happened. In the Brussels Airport departure terminal, the checkout lanes for United and American Airlines were in row 8. Delta Airlines was in row 11. Belgian prosecutors say the bombs went off here, near rows 1 and 2, just inside the entry door, not far from the Starbucks, and close to the Brussels Airlines counters. Meanwhile, the Malbec subway station that was bombed is the prime stop for the European Union government buildings. The U.S. Embassy is a mile further down the street and serviced by different train and subway stops.
Tonight, international risk experts say Americans traveling to Europe should consider avoiding large public gatherings and always be aware of their surroundings.
Maybe I don't want to be flying at peak times when there's mass congestion. Do I know where all the exits are in the airport? Am I watching everyone around me? If something doesn't feel right, trust your instincts.
Travel advice that may simply become the new normal. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
And the two suicide bomber brothers in these attacks fit a troubling pattern. Terrorists with family ties. Radical groups often exploit the bonds between brothers. And as our Keir Simmons takes us into one Brussels neighborhood that's become a prime recruiting ground for terror.
The brothers turned suicide bombers this week at Brussels airport and subway station are sickeningly nothing new. The attack on the French magazine Charlie Hebdo last year involved two brothers. The Boston bombing carried out by Johar and Tamal Anzanaya. Even the jihadists behind 9/11 included three pairs of siblings. Tonight, too frightened to be identified, one young man told me family and friends were recruited on street corners in the Molenbeek district of Brussels.
It's like a gang that you can't leave.
C'est un peu comme un gang qu'on peut plus quitter, hein?
Yes, they will kill you if you leave, he says. Some went to Syria to fight jihad, like these parents' sons, and died there.
He said, I'm a friend of your son, and I will just inform you that your son has died.
But others returned to their neighborhoods to kill in Europe. Salah Abdeslam, arrested for the Paris attacks Friday, allegedly joined ISIS with his brother.
Many ISIS recruits have criminal backgrounds. Ibrahim Abdeslam ran this cafe where locals tell us drugs were sold. He died in Paris, a suicide bomber.
If you look at terrorist networks, it's traditionally people who have known each other for a protracted period of time. So they've been to school together or things like that. But of course, the strongest bond is that of siblings. It's within the family.
Europe's intelligence agencies are scrambling to trace those links, fearing another attack. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Brussels.
Back at home, turning now to the race for president and a furious Ted Cruz unleashing today on Donald Trump after the Republican frontrunner fanned the flames in the war over their wives on social media. This as the polls show that Trump may have a serious problem with women voters. NBC's Hallie Jackson has details.
A single retweet reigniting the fight between the frontrunners. Donald Trump showing this photo to his 7 million followers. His wife, side by side with Ted Cruz's, with the phrase, the images are worth a thousand words.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward and leave Heidi the hell alone.
So will you support him as the nominee?
I'm going to beat him for the nomination.
He's leading right now. You just looked in that camera and said he is a coward. Will you support him as the nominee?
Donald Trump will not be the nominee because Donald Trump is a traitor.
Cruz, with wife Heidi in Wisconsin today, taking his toughest tone yet.
Donald doesn't like strong women. Strong women scare Donald.
Trump's campaign manager, dismissive, saying of Cruz, this is his effort to gain attention to try and stay relevant in a race that he has lost, and insisting Trump has great relationships with women. Megyn Kelly, whom Trump has attacked repeatedly, asking about the tweet simply, seriously? Nearly half of female Republican voters say they couldn't imagine picking Trump more than either of his rivals. And among women in the general electorate, 7 in 10 have a negative view of Trump.
Nobody respects women more than I do.
He's repeatedly defended himself on the trail. His wife has, too.
I see him in life. He treats women the same as men.
Some supporters, unfazed.
We have some foreign leaders out there that are tough and ridiculous. And rather than acting, maybe we need one of our own.
Insults online reverberating in real life. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Dane, Wisconsin.
Today, the Justice Department has charged 7 Iranians with cyber attacks on U.S. targets. They are contractors. The Iranian government accused of hacking dozens of banks. And the feds say one also hacked the controls of a dam 30 miles outside New York City. But none of them is actually in the U.S., so they may never be arrested for the crimes. A powerful storm is moving across nearly the entire stretch of the country, dumping heavy snow, spawning tornadoes and violent hail, winds even whipping fires. A wild convergence of weather events all from the same giant system. And NBC's Kerry Sanders is in the storm zone for us tonight.
Spring on hold for much of the country as a massive storm wreaks havoc across the plains, the Midwest, and the South. Powerful hail roared through Dallas.
Oh my God.
Blowing out windows and damaging cars. Colorado digging out from a record spring snowfall. 17 inches in just 36 hours, stranding some motorists for more than 7 hours.
We're just going to sit here and enjoy the spring blizzard.
The Denver airport trying to get back on track after the fierce blizzard forced a complete shutdown. Snow also blanketed Minnesota and Wisconsin, too, where the governor declared a state of emergency.
I just heard the roaring.
And this morning, in Lake Charles, Louisiana, a reported tornado touchdown.
There's my roof on the neighbor's house.
The winds from the same system fueling fires in Oklahoma and Kansas, burning an area 8 times the size of Manhattan.
We can get Mother Nature to cooperate a little bit.
And more dangerous storms predicted for the South tonight, where the National Weather Service is gathering more information to help keep people safe.
We're going to collect the temperature, the humidity, and the winds on up through 100,000 feet in the atmosphere.
Tonight, portions of Alabama and the Florida Panhandle are under a tornado watch. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Birmingham.
Still ahead for us tonight, the beauty queen turned flight attendant who fled after 70 pounds of cocaine were allegedly found in her bags, how her flight from justice came to an end. Also, the deadliest kind of heart attacks, why they're on the rise for younger people, and why it may not be too late to dramatically cut your risk. We were planning to bring you this next story even before we got word of the sudden death of Gary Shandling from an apparent heart attack at just 66 years old. There's a new study from doctors at the Cleveland Clinic reporting that victims of the deadliest form of heart attacks are actually getting younger. The average age now just 60. NBC's Ann Thompson explains the alarming trend.
Every 43 seconds, someone in America has a heart attack, and increasingly, that person is younger. A new study from the Cleveland Clinic says the average age for the deadliest type of heart attack has dropped from 64 to 60, because alarmingly, well-known risk factors are on the rise, including smoking, high blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes. Increases, study author Dr. Samir Kapadia says, are fueled by the mistaken belief that pills can solve everything.
It is the false idea that taking medications for cholesterol and taking appropriate medications are enough and lifestyle changes are not required.
That's what Tricia Slimbarski says she used to think.
Most of my life, I was 95 pounds more than I am now, so I didn't exercise.
A mom who worked as a research analyst at the Pentagon, Tricia says she was a junk food queen. She developed diabetes, had heart bypass surgery. But it wasn't until she had 8 stents put into her heart 2 years ago that she got scared.
I was looking death in the face.
Exercise is now a priority. Her diet is plant-based, and her family loves it.
My husband has lost 38 pounds. My daughter has lost about 120 pounds.
Tricia is no longer diabetic and is down from 13 pills a day to half of one.
I'm having fun now.
Proving it's never too late to change for a better, longer life. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with a shocking plunge with a driver still at the wheel, caught on camera. A big update now on a wild story we first told you about late last week. A flight attendant for JetBlue is under arrest tonight, accused of trying to smuggle 70 pounds of cocaine on a flight at Los Angeles International Airport, taking off, running during a random security search of her carry-on bags, throwing her luggage and her shoes as she fled. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has the new details.
Federal agents say security cameras captured Marsha Reynolds, even though police couldn't, as she tried to smuggle nearly 70 pounds of cocaine past security at LAX.
Our second princess this evening.
The former Jamaican beauty queen, who's a nursing student and a JetBlue flight attendant, outran police at the airport last week, but was in federal court today after turning herself in, charged with intent to distribute cocaine. Prosecutors say the flight attendant is a flight risk, who was working with an unnamed co-conspirator, a man who may now be trying to flee the country.
When the facts will come out and everyone will be surprised, more to the story.
The FBI says Reynolds tried to wheel $3 million worth of cocaine past the crew member's security checkpoint. But when randomly flagged for secondary screening, court documents say Reynolds became nervous and began looking around.
After dropping her three carry-on bags and ditching her Gucci shoes, police say the former NYU athlete sprinted down an upward-moving escalator and out of the door.
After some confusion in identifying Reynolds, the FBI says she came back to LAX the next day and flew to JFK. After the story broke, she turned herself in.
11 bags of cocaine and a track star beauty queen flight attendant. The feds say Reynolds was fast on her feet, but in the end could not outrun the law. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Scary video out of Baltimore. Take a look. It shows the sidewalk and the side of a parking garage when suddenly an SUV plows right off the fourth floor, plunging to the ground below, landing upside down. Miraculously, the woman behind the wheel did not suffer any serious injuries. Police say she was pulling into a parking space when the accident occurred. When we come back, amid the chaos, they rushed to help. Some even injured themselves. The heroes of the Brussels attacks when we come back. Finally tonight, as the details continue to emerge about those who carried out the Brussels terror attacks, so too are the incredible stories of heroism that day. Ordinary people who risked their own safety to save others. Here's NBC's Kelly Kobiea.
Minutes before two bombs ripped through the Brussels airport, Alphonse Yula was smiling, wrapping luggage for passengers. I was working, he told me. Then, chaos. As panicked survivors ran from the airport, Yula, an immigrant from the Ivory Coast, stayed. That's him, carrying one of the injured. I wasn't afraid because so many needed help, he told me. I carried people out. I stayed with them. I helped stop the bleeding. Also in the airport, 20-year-old Yassine Anous, a Muslim. He was bleeding, yet... I evacuated people, he said. I don't even know how I did it. It was my first reflex. Across Brussels, everyday heroes. Too many to count. 400 volunteers for the Red Cross alone left their day jobs to dress wounds and comfort victims.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Tonight, Alphonse Yula is still thinking about the people he helped. He'd like to meet them to see if they're okay. And he says he's still not afraid. Because the Belgium he knows is an open, hopeful country. And that, he says, hasn't changed. Kelly Kobiea, NBC News, Brussels, Belgium.
And that will do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.